It was described as a very respectful meeting. Pope Benedict received in audience Friday the president of Sudan, Omar Hassan al-Bashir. The two met for just under half an hour in the papal summer residence at Castel Gandolfo outside Rome on Friday. President al-Bashir later met with Vatican Secretary of Foreign Affairs, Archbishop Dominique Bomberti, formerly the Apostolic Nuncio to Khartoum. Talks focused on the political and religious situation in Sudan, particularly on Darfur, and on the 2005 Comprehensive Peace Agreement, which had been drawn up to end decades of conflict in southern Sudan. In a statement issued by the Vatican's press office, the Holy See expressed great hope for the success of upcoming peace talks on Darfur, scheduled for October 27th in Libya, so that the suffering and the vulnerability of people in Darfur, it said, will come to an end. The Holy See also expressed its desire to see their right to humanitarian assistance respected and the launch of development projects in Darfur. While other issues raised during the Vatican talks concerned the defense of human life and the family, respect for human rights, such as the fundamental right to religious freedom, the importance of interreligious dialogue and interfaith collaboration, especially, it said, between Christians and Muslims for the promotion of peace and the common good. Well, it was the very first time the Sudanese president has visited the Vatican. He was accompanied by a ministerial-level delegation, including Sudan's ministers for foreign and religious affairs and members of parliament. Vatican Radio will be speaking with President al-Bashir on Saturday. You'll find excerpts from that interview on our World News Service. You can access that service any time of the day or night on our website. That's www.vaticanradio.org. Well, in the meantime, I spoke with a white father missionary who lived in Sudan for many years. Father Paul Hannon used to teach in Khartoum. He said that while most people hear about the horrible violence going on in Darfur, little attention has been given to important headway Sudan has made in the south and towards economic revival.
We hear a lot of the negative news, but there are also snippets of very positive news, especially, I would say, on the front of interfaith, interreligious encounter and dialogue. And recently, as recent as December of just last year, so only about 8 months ago, a new plot of land was accorded to the Catholic Church in Al-Hajj Yusuf, which is a suburb of Khartoum, for the purpose of building a church. And this is something quite new. It hasn't happened for a very long time in Sudan. So there is something positive. We, as Missionaries of Africa, have a parish in that area, and we tried to acquire a plot for many years so that we could build officially a church in that place. And this met with a lot of difficulties until recently. And there's been, I think, a more positive attitude of the government towards those of other faiths other than Islam. So there is a positive thing that is happening.
What do you think brought that change in attitude towards the Christians?
I think it goes in line a little with the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, which was signed with the southern Sudanese after 23 years of civil war. That was signed 2-3 years ago now. And I think there is a slightly less rigid and less strict Islamic tendency on the part of the government in the north. And there's a desire for them to be seen to be a little more open to others of other faiths who are Sudanese, who are their own compatriots, and who are living with them in the north of Sudan. So I think there was a link with that peace agreement and a desire to be seen to be a little more fair and not so harshly, strictly Islamic than before.
So in what other ways are you seeing this this new positive attitude, if you will, expressing itself in other parts of the country? You mentioned in the south, of course, things are improving. What about the rest of Sudan?
Well, I must say in the south things are improving, but really they were starting from scratch, from nothing, from zero, because during the years of civil war, there was absolutely no development. All funds were concentrated on military activities, security, armies, etc. So now roads are beginning to be built. There's a more peaceful situation in the south, hospitals, schools. All this has to be planned, funded, and personnel have to be found for all of that. That is a major, huge project for the south. In the north of Sudan, which I've visited recently, signs of economic recovery after all that funding for military activity has ceased. Funds are now going to other projects, road building, hospitals, development, especially around the capital of Khartoum. And there, even some of the southerners who are displaced people living in and around Khartoum find opportunities for jobs, laboring work, etc. In a way, there's a spin-off for them also. And all this money coming from the recently discovered and developed oil installations in the center of Sudan, exploited by Chinese companies and the government of China, helping and sending engineers and technicians to help build pipelines, etc. So there's a spin-off there. Because of the re-established peace in Sudan in the south, there is an economic benefit, I think, for most people, even some of the most disadvantaged and marginalized southerners living in the north.
What would your concerns be then? Is it all a bright, rosy picture?
Not at all, no. It isn't all rosy. I've seen signs of hope, signs of hope. What I think the government of Sudan needs to look at and really consider very seriously is its desire for a peaceful settlement of the Darfur situation in collaboration and cooperation with the different rebel factions which are involved in that conflict. There has to be a desire for peace and a working for peace and a striving for peace. And I think sometimes that has not been very visible from outside. So that's one area. The South has signed a comprehensive peace settlement, but that is for a period of time. There's a kind of interim period now for 6 years after the signing. And after 6 years, a referendum will take place. So there's a certain uncertainty about the future. What will the South decide? Will there be fair, a referendum giving everyone an opportunity to express an opinion about either remaining unified as one country or as having a certain autonomy for the South or a complete independence for the South? There are many unknowns and a certain uncertainty which leaves Sudan still in a situation of difficulty, really, I would say.
What do you see as coming out of this meeting between Sudan's president and Pope Benedict? I mean, do you have any hopes of what you would like to see come out of it?
Yes, I would like to see President Bashir expressing a sincere desire, first of all, for peace within all of the frontiers of Sudan, the biggest, the most vast country in Africa, a huge area, different populations, culturally, linguistically, religious, many differences, but a country which has huge possibilities, and I would like to see him assure Pope Benedict that there is a sincere desire for peace, for justice, for equality for all members of Sudanese society, wherever they are from, whatever their cultural or religious background is. That should be expressed very clearly. And a commitment to work for peace and justice. I was in Sudan when Pope John Paul visited Sudan in 1992 or 93. And that was a great boost to the church, which at that time, still under the civil war situation in the south, felt very much an oppressed minority in the north, under a lot of pressure, suspicion. That has changed. That situation has changed a little. It is not quite so bleak as it was. Things are improving. There is hope for the future.
White missionary Father Paul Hannon speaking to me there ahead of Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir's meeting on Friday with Pope Benedict XVI.